Good morning, everyone. Calling the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is comments from the chair. I just want to wish everybody a happy new year. Hopefully everybody had a fun and safe holiday season. And I also want to welcome our newest commissioner, Anna Sorton. We're very glad to have you on board, and welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. So, okay. Well, diving right in, item number two, we have approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to peruse those. Any questions or comments about the minutes? All right, I don't believe we have to approve those. No. Okay. All right, with that then, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Items 3 through 9, does any commissioner want to remove any item from the consent calendar? Okay. Seeing none, we'll entertain a motion. Yes. Commissioner Burke.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay. All right, so moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, yes, and good morning to Commissioners Edwards and Fiscombe, who are on the phone. So, glad to have you with us as well. All right, item number 10, matter of Fred Steele. Can we get staff support on that?
I was just wondering if you wanted to
move on.
Okay. We can come back and pick
Very
this
well.
Up if you don't
mind. Okay. With that, then we will move to item number 21, Ramat Shureshi, and we have a stipulated final order.
Thank you.
I'm calling.
Give him Mr. Burke a call.
Okay. I'm calling Mr. Berman.
I think he was on. At least I thought he was. Was he not on?
No, I haven't called.
That was one of the commissioners.
Yeah, we have two commissioners. Mr. Berman?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the Ethics Commission, and I am conferencing you in. Just a moment, please.
Great, thank you.
Hello? Who's on the line? Okay, speak your name, please, if you're on the line.
This is Stephen Berman.
This is Commissioner Fiscombe.
And Commissioner Edwards.
Very good. We have everybody. Okay. All right. Dr. Shreshi, thank you for joining us this morning. And Mr. Dubanovich?
Yes, Keith Dubanovich. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Staff report on the stipulated final order.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Ramat Shureshi was the president of Portland State University and a tenured faculty member when the events relevant to this case occurred. The commission opened the case upon its own motion based on allegations of possible ethics violations made in an Oregonian story in 2019. After considering the preliminary review report on July 12th of 2019, the commission voted to initiate an investigation. Dr. Shureshi has indicated that he wishes to settle this case without completing the investigative phase. This stipulated final order is to settle four violations concerning Dr. Shureshi's acceptance of travel costs in excess of the gift statute limit, his failure to disclose and dispose of a conflict of interest concerning the development of a prototype based on his patented work with PSU funds, and the prohibited use of his position to take official actions concerning the PSU presidential residence and his patented work, in which Dr. Shureshi retained some financial interest. The settlement requires Dr. Shureshi to pay a civil penalty of $2,580. This is within the penalty matrix. And Dr. Shureshi signed the stipulated final order in the senior meeting book for approval. And as you know, Dr. Shureshi's attorney, Steve Berman, is on the phone. If you I have the math equation for the figuring of the civil penalty, if you're interested.
Thank you, Ms. Gould. Commissioners have any questions for staff at this point? Yes, Commissioner Mason.
So, was the investigation completed?
No.
From your perspective, is there a possibility of finding additional violations if it can conclude, if it ran the entire course?
That's a really good question. And what happens when somebody is in the investigation phase and they request a settlement? I usually continue fact-finding until I feel that I know enough to do a settlement, a comprehensive settlement. And so I don't believe I'd find anything more. I mean, I have boxes of documents in my office, so they've all been gone through and people have been interviewed. And
Good. Thank you for that.
Any other questions for staff at this point? All right. Well, this will be the opportunity, Dr. Shureshi, Mr. Devanovich, or Mr. Berman, if any of you would like to add anything.
This is Mr. Berman. I just wanted to briefly thank the commission, and in particular Ms. Gould, for the professionalism and courtesy with which they conducted the investigation and the review throughout this process. It was very easy to communicate with Ms. Gould. She was responsive, quite helpful. We were able to share information and get this to a place where it could be resolved without any further expense to the commission or use of commission time without any further delay for getting the matter resolved for Dr. Shureshi. So I think this is a good opportunity for settlement, but I just again want to thank in particular Ms. Gould and the professionalism of the commission, which I've always been experiencing in my interactions with them.
Thank you, Mr. Berman. Is there anything you gentlemen would like to add?
Good morning. Happy New Year to all of you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Although it has not been easy or comfortable for me to be here, but I also want to follow up what Mr. Berman said, that I wanted to thank you and the commission's staff for your time and also for your professionalism. I feel that I have been treated with respect and courtesy during these meetings and also during the time that I met with Ms. Gould. As you are aware, it has been a very challenging time for my family and me. My decision to resign PSU presidency last May was an extremely difficult decision. I hold PSU and the PSU community to great esteem. I accepted the job of PSU presidency, moved from New York to Portland, hoping to finish my academic career here at PSU. With the advantage of hindsight, I probably would have done some things differently, but I certainly did not intend to violate any ethics laws or to do anything that could be considered unethical. I'm sorry that this is how my time in Oregon will end. I believe that I have made many successes while at PSU. I helped move the university forward, and especially in dealing with some of these challenging times. I would have liked to have continued my role, but given the circumstances, it was time for me to move on. I don't think the commission, the public, or I would benefit from further arguing over legal or factual questions about Oregon's ethics law. Since my resignation, I have returned to Colorado. That's our home. That's where my kids grew up. I don't plan to work in Oregon, and my time as a public official is over. I believe it's an appropriate time to resolve this matter and move on. Again, I want to thank you, and I want to wish you all a happy new year.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Ivanovich, did you want to add anything?
No, I think enough has been said. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do any commissioners have any questions for Dr. Shreshi or his counsel? I've seen none.
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Fiskum, if you can hear me.
Yes, Commissioner Fiskum, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Perhaps I should have asked this question earlier when Ms. Gould gave her reports initially on this matter. I just want to ask a quick question relative to page 89 on our agenda, item V as in Barry, W as in Wednesday. The question, the maximum penalty here would have been under law $20,000, as I understand the words. My question, Ms. Gould, is how you arrived at the $2,500 round number.
Okay. So the penalty matrix came up with three total points, which is four violations, and the maximum penalty for four violations is $20,000. But at 3 points total on the matrix, that ends up at a range of between 1 and 20% of that total. So that's between $250 to $4,000. So I think Mr. Burson decided to go right in the middle of that. So $2,000, and then we had an additional civil penalty because of the what's called in slang the forfeiture, which is, again, that's 120% of the amount, twice the amount of the gift that he accepted. So that would be between $29 and $580. So that was at the top of the range, $580. So that's how it was arrived at.
Ms. Gould, thank you very much for that explanation. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. All right. Any discussion? Yes, Commissioner Mason.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I think with the commissioners, I don't feel comfortable going this low as a penalty. You know, my philosophy has always been top officials should pay a top penalty. I think the university president is a top official. I understand how you came up with the number on the penalty matrix. You know, I think that is, I think it sends the wrong message to, I think, public officials in general, let alone students at the university. We're wanting to settle on a fine that is basically a third of what his housing stipend was, monthly housing stipend. Now, I think just in relative dollars, it just seems too low in that sense. You know, I'm sympathetic for what you've gone through, and I remember our initial meetings. Your attorney was very articulate in why we shouldn't even go through an investigative process, that that was, you know, we shouldn't even go there because this was, you know, that we, you know, we wouldn't find anything or whatever the case may be. But then we're settling, you know, on four violations, you know, with this kind of reduction in penalty. So, I mean, I would, you know, move to, you know, not accept the stipulated agreement and go with something more significant, you know, penalty-wise.
Okay. Yes, Director Burson.
Well, I just want to, I guess, say why I was at where I was at here. Because it's not just the penalty matrix. I think we also have to look at the violations themselves and whether or not the commission, through a contested case, could actually prevail in each one of the four different areas. And whereas I think that the commission is very strong in the gift acceptance of the trip, we may not be as strong in some of the other ones. Now, in this negotiation, part of it was also that Dr. Shreshi and Mr. Berman agreed to, I think Dr. Shreshi, as she mentioned it, not argue the other three violations in this, and so include those in part of the STIP. I think I would agree with you, Commissioner Mason, if we were just talking about the one thing, but by actually agreeing to the other ones, that's also part of the negotiation that he is agreeing that through a contested case, we would prevail in a contested case. Now, again, you know, contested case involves outside folks making that decision, and so that's, you know, I can't be sure of that, but this actually gets the commission that we found four violations in this. If we continued on through the investigation, if you folks actually had found the four violations in that investigation, he, of course, would have appeal rights, and then somebody outside the commission could start making that decision. So part of this negotiation was to get him to agree to the four violations and not continue to argue those. And so that's when we looked at the top of what we could charge, or not charge, you know, the top of our matrix. That's why we went in the middle. Now, why I went to the top of the forfeiture part was, is again, I agree with you that Dr. Shreshi is a top state official, or was at the time a top state official, and accepting, you know, that type of gift should have come up on radar, should have done something. So we actually hit the top of the forfeiture charge. But and the actual penalty, I did negotiate for the middle part of that. And part of that was their cooperation and agreeing to all of the violations.
And I'm sympathetic where you have to look at the big picture on protecting the organization, or looking at, you know, the long-term, you know, potential ramifications of this being extended. And then I'm just looking at it just on a level of fairness. Are we sending the right signal by reducing that? And I don't think that we do. And I could be, you know, the other commissioners could completely disagree.
Mr. Burke, and then our counsel.
Sure. With all, you know, I offer all respect to my good friend Dan Mason, but I have to disagree with him here. I think he raises a valid point, but one of the things that's complicated about being an ethics commissioner is that there are so many different kinds of public officials under so many different kinds of circumstances, and the impact of the things that we decide and they decide are all very different. So I think it's really hard to put a one-size-fits-all. I do agree that higher officials, have higher level of responsibility. But I take a look at what the situation here. Dr. Shreshi, who I believe to be an honorable man who just made a mistake in this case, has this was a factor in ending his academic career. This was a factor in his need to step down from the presidency of Portland State. Now he's in Colorado. He's out of the state, no longer a public official, and he's going to pay a fine. And to me, that's a lot of money. I don't know if it is to all of you, which is another thing that's hard to gauge depending on who we're penalizing, is how much does it earn him. But I believe that the mission of our commission is being satisfied. We're not, our primary mission is not to punish, our primary mission is to educate. And I believe that under this set of circumstances, this stipulated final order meets our obligation to pursue our mission and sends the signal that needs to be sent and allows Dr. Shreshi to go on in his life. So I would speak in favor of the stipulated final order.
Thank you, Commissioner Burse. Ms. Alpoff.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with everything that Director Burson said and add that also in a contested case, following your rule and your matrix would be an issue that the ALJ would look at, and that very often there is no, the forfeiture part, very often the commission does not pursue that at all, and in this case they have imposed it at the highest level, so that is taking into account I think his position and doing something a little unusual, even though it's not a huge dollar amount. That is not something the commission does very often.
Yes.
I'd like to move that we accept the stipulated order.
Okay. We have a motion to accept. Any discussion on the motion? Yeah. Seeing none. We can move forward.
Sorry, I just had... Maybe I misunderstood you, Commissioner Mason. Did you make a motion earlier?
I think you did. I did.
Yeah. And so...
And it was a motion. I appreciate that. I did make a motion to dismiss, and then I started talking over the top of it, but yes.
Okay. So,
with that...
My motion was on the floor to dismiss this.
My apologies, Commissioner Mason.
Dismiss it, but to reject it.
Right. And the way you phrased it, my apologies for not clarifying, the way you phrased it, I wasn't sure if you had made a motion or were... proposing that you would, at the conclusion, make a motion. So my apologies for that. Okay, so with that then, Commissioner Mason previously made a motion to reject the stipulated final order. Okay. So any discussion on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, again, with respect to my good friend Dan Mason, I move that we table this motion indefinitely.
Okay, well, so we have his motion on the... for consideration, so I think we would need to move forward with his motion.
That's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting that his motion...
He's advocating against it.
Because that would put it out of the way, and we'd be back to the main motion.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay,
yeah. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. That would delay
So,
the settlement.
Okay. Because it was... All right, got it.
So let's go ahead and move forward with any further discussion.
Can I speak in favor of my motion?
Yes, Commissioner Mason.
With all due respect to the former chair, who I was actually going to speak about how I would always hear the chair talk about education, former chair, about how our role and our mission is to educate. And I do not think that you educate by reducing or rewarding, giving a rewarding of a reduction of penalty. I think you do set a different, standard, and I understand Zalpa's perspective with, being consistent, going with the penalty matrix, and I also understand that they have the ability to negotiate after settling on the top penalties, which would be a total of $20,000. Outside of that, they could still negotiate, after settling. If we were to vote to accept that. And reject this initial. Because that's, in essence what we did in both the Kitzhoffer and Sylvia Hayes case. That's exactly what we did. We rejected the initial and then came back with the other. So I think that sets more of a educational standard. But
all right. Any further discussion on Commissioner Mason's motion? Seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote. And his motion, of course, is to reject the stipulated final order.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because I'm new to the procedures. So could you explain what would happen if we voted in favor of your motion? What would be the next step? What I understood you just to say is that they would continue to negotiate a different penalty?
Well, there could be, some of it depends on Dr. Shreshi and Mr. Berman. They have waived time, is it correct, Diane? They could take back that waiver time. We would have to finish the investigation and or renegotiate this settlement. But those are really our only two options. Either we finish the investigation or we renegotiate the settlement. But since they've waived time, as long as they continue to agree to waive time, we would probably try to renegotiate the settlement. However, without that cooperation, we would be obligated to finish that investigation.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Mr. Berman.
Yes, Mr. Berman.
I just want to mention, I do want to emphasize and kind of echo what Executive Director Burson said. This is a negotiated settlement. And while I certainly understand the concerns that were raised that the fine or the agreed penalty could be higher. I do want to emphasize that part of the benefit of the negotiated settlement is the resolution, the reduction in ongoing costs to the commission, as well as the acceptance of the alleged violations that may be problematic for the commission to actually prove. I do want to echo that I think the educational function has been well served by this process. The public is aware of what has happened and what has transpired. And finally, when we're talking about the scope of violations and the matrix, I think it's important to emphasize that the matrix has this point system exactly to place the existing alleged violations within an economic range. And within that range, we are well within the middle of that recommended range under the matrix. And that part of the compromise and negotiation, again, is to wrap this up, get it finalized, but the educational function serve its purpose. It's not to be a... this isn't a retributive type process. And I do want to emphasize that, Dr. Shreshi has left his job, has left Oregon, has left public life, all as an outcome in part of this investigation. So you have, along with PSU, the relationship with the PSU, but remember that the investigation was initiated while Dr. Shreshi was still at PSU. So I want to echo that the educational function and the function of the Government Ethics Committee overseeing the concerns with public officials in Oregon has been fully satisfied by this process. And the negotiated settlement that we've come to is part of a settlement to end the process and the cost, expense, and exposure for all the parties involved. And that's how we got from A to B here. And that the number that we're discussing is well within the range of what's appropriate under the matrix. Although this has been a higher profile of proceeding than many, this is not an issue of repeat violations. And I, bristle a bit at the mention of the Kitaka and Sylvia Hayes process because, as I recall, and actually I think the first hearing that Dr. Shreshi and I came to with you all was considering Ms. Hayes' settlement agreement where she didn't attend. And she didn't cooperate, and she didn't work with the commission to get this resolution. And we've posited and approached this in just such a different light that I think that is something to be taken into consideration as well.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. All right. So let's proceed on with a roll call vote of Commissioner Mason's motion to reject the stipulated final order.
Commissioner Burke.
Nay.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Fiskum, can I ask you a question just to clarify for the record before I vote? Just remind me what a no vote, what a yes vote means.
Yes, Commissioner Fiskum. So a yes vote would be to reject the stipulated final order. That is what a yes vote would be. A no vote would be to not reject it.
No. Commissioner Fiskum votes no.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Nay.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Nay.
Commissioner Starr?
Nay.
Chair Sosa?
Nay.
All right. And so motion fails 6-2.
All right. Now, the motion to reject it having been rejected, I'll entertain a motion.
To accept the stipulated final order.
Okay, so Commissioner Starr has so moved. Any further discussion on this? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Nay.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Commissioner Fiskum, both aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Nay.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-2.
Thank you very much, Dr. Shreshi, Mr. Berman, Mr. Banovich. Thank you very much for your time.
Chair Sosa, this is Commissioner Fiskum. Can I make a quick comment for the record?
Yes, Commissioner. Yes.
Thank you. Just for the record, I've had mixed emotions about this issue before us today. In part, I agree with the Vice Chair's proposition that the suggested penalty was too low. same time, Ms. Alpaugh and Mr. Burson's comments persuaded me to vote yes, but from a big picture standpoint. But for the record, I also want to underline that I think the issue we face today is an additional underline for our need to review, as we have been setting out to do for some months, the matrix that we have in existence under administrative rules. I think it's time to consider reviewing, perhaps revising that matrix, in particular with regard to what I will label, quote, high-level public officials, as those kinds of officials are considered by the matrix. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fiskum. All right. We will now proceed into executive session to consider preliminary reviews pursuant to 244.2604D.